Hello, everyone. Nick DiGilio, that's me. I'm your overnight dude. Monday through Friday, weekday mornings, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich in the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. Call or text right now. We're going to be talking about what double features would you love to put together? Like, if you were going to pick a couple of movies, what are some classic double features that you would love to show your friends and other mixtape stuff? Like, here's the reason why I'm bringing this up. Netflix is adding a shareable playlist feature called Flixtape. See, get it? Mixtape, but Flixtape. See? Here's what it says. The era of digital music streaming and CDs before it might have killed off the mixtape, but the concept of a curated bundle of entertainment is still a beloved one. And that's what Netflix is hoping as it launches a new feature called Flixtape. As Nerdist reports, man, did Chris Hardwick make a lot of money. Isn't it unbelievable how much money Chris Hardwick has made? I love Chris Hardwick. You know, Eric hates him, Dan.
Why?
I don't know. You know, like sometimes I'll be like, "Hey, did you watch At Midnight last night?" I don't watch that show.
Maybe because he's on everything.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like he's everywhere, so maybe.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but I just don't watch I don't watch Walking Dead, so that means I don't watch Talking Dead, or Talking of the Dead, whatever the hell, Fear the Walking Talking Dead. But, you know, I watch At Midnight every night. I think it's great. And I've always liked Chris Hardwick.
According to net worth, he's worth, you want to guess?
I don't know, $22 million?
Little high, Esmeralda?
15.
$10
million. $10
million. What?
Nerdist, man.
Oh, that's right.
That's it. That's his. He, you know what I mean? And that's all him.
And to think, he used to host Singled Out.
And Shipmates. As I've mentioned many times before. Esmeralda, have you ever found Shipmates on the YouTubes?
I think I found a couple clips.
Oh, man. Yeah, I used to watch him on Singled Out. I loved him on Singled Out. You know? But I'm telling you, Shipmates, if you can find some of those episodes where he just, like, basically looks into the camera and says, "Why are you watching this show? It's terrible." As Nerdist reports, Flixtape allows users to create playlists of shows and movies with a common theme that they can share with friends and family members via the streaming service. Just like some music streaming apps, Flixtape lets users create their own mixes or browse made-for-you lists with titles like The Mom and Pop Flixtape, The Besties of Frenemies Flixtape, The Summertimes Flixtape. As Nerdist points out, adding a show to Flixtape means adding the entire show, which is fine if you want somebody to binge on 30 Rock or Stranger Things, but otherwise the recipient will have the added responsibility of navigating through to find the episode that matches the theme. So in other words, you can't just take a specific episode from a show to add to the list. You have to add the entire series. So that's kind of cool, I think. I wonder how that's going to take. Did it start yet, Dan? Did it say when it's starting? Because that's all that's there.
Let me get back to you.
Okay. I think that's kind of a cool thing. So, now, Esmeralda, is there like a movie if you become friends with somebody or you start dating somebody, or is there a movie where you go, "Hey, you got to like this movie or else we're not getting together. And here, let's watch it." You got any movies like that?
I wouldn't say that I wouldn't date someone,
where you'd be disappointed that they didn't, if that person shared your passion and love for this specific movie, that would be awesome.
I'd probably say, well, either Barbarella, that movie's just so amazing. I love to show it to people who haven't seen it. I'm like, look at her. She's just amazing. She's like gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's just hilarious, like everything that happens to her.
It is such a certifiably insane film.
Yeah.
It's a terrible movie, but like, it's definitely, it is a movie that should be put into a time capsule.
Yes. It's just it's so good. And then also, I guess I would say, well, if someone didn't like Trainspotting, I would be very Like, yeah. No, I'll see you later.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on Trainspotting.
Yeah. And then I would feel super special if they liked Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, God. All right. That's where we part ways, my friend.
That's more nostalgia.
The name Baz Luhrmann just sends chills down my spine whenever I hear
that. That's more nostalgia for me.
Yeah.
But that movie's so good. And that soundtrack, yeah.
Well, you were a kid when it came out, right?
Yeah, I was like 13.
13,
10,
yeah.
10, 13, somewhere around there.
Yeah. I mean, when did it come out? Mid-90s, right? Like 90,
yes.
It had to be like 95, 96?
Yes. I think it was 95.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. Now, Dan, did you see the Baz Luhrmann movie?
I did enjoy the Baz Luhrmann movie. I didn't love it. I think I prefer Moulin Rouge, but
oh,
well, no, I didn't. I don't like Moulin Rouge.
There you go.
I don't understand, man. I don't understand the Baz Luhrmann at all. None of it.
Quick follow up.
Yeah,
has V seen Barbarella?
I think he has.
Oh, he must have.
That seems right up his.
I think he has because I haven't shown it to him.
Most, you know, knowing I don't know V as well as a lot of people do, but I know him. And he and I have had conversations about movies and stuff and geeky stuff. There's no question he's seen it. I have no doubt in my mind that V has seen Barbarella. It's no doubt.
Well, if he hasn't.
Yeah.
If he hasn't, you're going to have to
watch it now.
You're going to have to rectify that.
I saw Barbarella on Channel 50 on a Saturday afternoon movie. That was interesting.
I saw it once. I was I was still living with my parents in the family room, and it was the cable, it was like the Showtime, it was on Showtime or whatever.
So it was uncut.
Yeah. And then just, you know, Jane Fonda boob.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God. It's just weird to be like, hi, Mom, you're over there. There's some boob on the TV.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Boy, Jane Fonda. Man. That Jane Fonda. Good Lord. Dan, what about you? Shawshank?
Shawshank is one.
Yeah.
I did break up with a girl pretty much over the fact that she wasn't into Black Hawk Down.
Wait a second. Wait a second. All right. Now, hold on. Now, did she explain why she wasn't in it? Maybe she just wasn't in a mood to watch a movie that's really, really depressing.
I don't know. She caught me at a bad time because two of my friends had just left to join the armed forces right before that. And then, like, I don't know what it was, but, like, I won't lie. She wanted to fool around afterwards, and I was just like, what is wrong with you?
Oh.
So.
Oh.
It was a la Jerry and Schindler's List.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's weird.
That was weird.
That's weird.
So, I mean, like, I don't think she was being rude. I just don't think she was either. She wasn't paying attention to her, wasn't impacting her, and I was just kind of like, that's not a good
sign. Hey, I got an idea. Let's watch Black Hawk Down and then make out. It's weird that the two movies that you've chosen, the other one was the one that was available on VHS in the lobby of the Sybaris when I went.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other one that I would give a plug for, coincidentally, both have been on TV a lot lately, Adventureland and Zombieland.
Love them both.
Both great movies.
Yep.
Both Jesse Eisenberg and both take place at amusement parks.
Yep.
And both are interesting takes on the same thing, but done in very completely different ways.
I love both of those movies, particularly Adventureland. Adventureland is that was a movie. Esmeralda, have you seen Adventureland?
I haven't.
That was a movie that really hit me. That hit home, that movie did. And I would put that on the list. Okay, we're talking about Flicks Tape. Flicks Tape is what we're talking about. What double features and movies would you put together to have people watch? 312-981-7200. News next. You. Hi, good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5. Steve Grzanich. Opening bell at 5 o'clock. It is Monday morning, and that means my dad will call in and tell a joke, because it's a jokey time. That's coming up. Right now, though, we're talking about Netflix has a new thing that they're calling Flicks Tape, and that's when you can take different movies and different shows and put them and make it like a mixtape of them, and then send it to your friends or have like a common theme among your TV shows and your movies that you would like to share with your friends or your relatives or whatever, and they're calling it Flicks Tape. And by the way, Dan found out that it is indeed available now. So this is a service that you can use now. And then we were just talking about, like, movies that mean a lot to you that it would be it would not be good if like your friends or someone you were dating or you know married to didn't enjoy those movies? Or what were some of your favorite double features? Vic, is there a movie or anything like that that you would be very disappointed if your lady friend wouldn't like it?
Just last night, Jeannie and I were talking about, was it called Spotlight?
Yes.
Yeah.
From last year's Best Picture.
She found that a bit boring, and that really was upsetting to me. I love that movie.
Well, also,
and
because,
I, by the way, I just joined Netflix last
did
night,
you?
So I'm really excited about
That's
that.
That's cool. Netflix is fun, man.
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, it's a lot
fun.
Of stuff. All the Albert Brooks movies, by the way, are available on Netflix.
Yes, they are.
And this TV series called Stranger Things, which is pretty great. I watched that in like two sittings.
Okay.
That's available on there too. But yeah, no, Spotlight, you're a journalist too, so that's another. I thought Spotlight was pretty great.
Did you?
Yeah, won Best Picture last year.
Good. I thought it was a tremendous movie.
But you were a little upset. It was a little upsetting for
I left,
for
actually.
I left the house. Yeah, that's it. I'm leaving. Yeah. It's over. Clear out the closet. I'm gone. So, well, I've told stories about this where I've tested people and women in the past. And well, this is the one story that I've told many times on the air of how much of a jerk I was I took a girl to see the movie Dead Ringers on a first date. And I don't know if you know what Dead Ringers is. Vic, are you familiar with Dead Ringers?
No.
Esmeralda, you're familiar with Dead Ringers, right?
I am now.
Well, let me explain to you why, Vic, this is not a good movie to show or go to on a first date. It's a David Cronenberg movie, and that should be kind of a red flag right there. And it stars Jeremy Irons, who plays drug-addicted twin gynecologists who do terrible things to ladies as they examine them.
First date material, it is not.
It is not.
Tell already.
It is about as far from first date material as you can get. So I took a girl to see it, and but the kicker of the story is that I had already seen it, so I knew what we were in store for. And I took her to see it as some sort of like test. I was like, man, if this girl likes Dead Ringer, she's cool. And of course she didn't. She hated it. You know, I still think she's hiding under her bed crying, you know, some 25 years later. So, so not a good first date movie. So, but I had a very strong reaction to it. I liked it. And I was like, well, man, if she doesn't like this movie, then screw her, man. If I were to date anybody, which is not going to happen, but if I were to date anybody, they would have to have at least some understanding and patience for my love of the movie Magnolia. There would have to be, because it's my favorite movie of all time, and I watch it frequently. And so there would have to be at least some sort of like, all right, yes, I understand it's your favorite movie. You know, I would not force it upon anyone because, you know, one, I'm not the jerk I was 30 years ago when Dead Ringers came out, and two, Magnolia is not the easiest movie to swallow. You know what I mean? It's 3 hours and 20 minutes long, and it's really over the top and very, very emotional. And
that's Tom Cruise's in that, right?
Yeah, and I think it's his best performance.
Well, there's a scene in there where he's over his father's deathbed,
yeah.
And I won't give anything away, but
yeah.
Man, what a powerful demonstration of his skills there.
He was great in that movie. He was great in that movie. And that damn Michael Caine one for the Cider House Rules. Tom Cruise was supposed to win. He should have won, but Michael Caine won. But anyway, Magnolia, I can understand people not liking it. I can totally understand. Like when I say Magnolia is my favorite movie, some people go, what? They just think I'm weird. And I understand that, you know, I mean, I would say, all right, look, give it a shot. I would say, why don't you watch it with me one time? And, you know, maybe I can give you like some DVD commentary on why I love it so much and why it means so much to me. Heather ended up watching it a bunch of times with me, my last wife. And she actually, one morning, we watched it like 2 o'clock in the morning, we watched it, and she actually made a flowchart of all the characters and the incidents and how they tie in. I was like, damn, that's pretty cool. Because it's a very complicated, you know, movie in terms of like structure. There's a lot of main characters, about 11 main characters in the movie, and they all have different subplots. And they crisscross around each other, and they're connected in different ways. And so, But I really wouldn't force it on anyone. I wouldn't say, yeah, you don't like Magnolia, forget it, because I totally understand. You know who still gives me grief about it? Spike Odell. Spike Odell continues on social media to give me crap about Magnolia all the time, because when the movie came out, Spike was, you know, obviously here, and he heard my review. It was John Williams was hosting the Saturday show at that time because Roy had retired the year earlier. So when the movie was out, I reviewed it with John Williams, and I guess Spike went to go see it based upon my recommendation. And he has never, that movie came out in December of 1999, and he still gives me crap about it. It's like almost 17 years later, Spike still won't let me forget that he hates Magnolia and he thinks I'm crazy. I remember when he's like, wait a minute, you like them? He goes, frogs, Nick, really? Frogs? I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. It's ridiculous. Anyway, Esmeralda, you like Magnolia, don't you?
Yeah, I remember I cried.
Yeah, oh,
I cried a few times.
I cry every time I watch the movie. I'm a mess when I watch that movie. Good God. So, but again, I don't know if I would include that on my Flicks tape. I don't think I would. That's a little too much. You know? How about this one? Duke says, Fury and Saving Private Ryan. Oh, all right. In for a happy evening of viewing. That's a double feature right there. We're talking about great double features that you would like to put together. 630 area code. Oh, this is good. Oh, this is good. 630 area code says, the ladies' man and the patsy, Jerry Lewis at his best. That's a great double feature. A great double feature. The Patsy is my favorite Jerry Lewis movie. Oh, my God, is that movie funny. Ridiculous. Look, it's Ike on WGN. Hey, Ike.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
All right.
Yeah, this is a good topic. I have this very cool double features to represent Chicago, especially in movies, because I feel like Chicago's underrated when it comes to movies.
Uh-huh.
Especially for action heroes, because I thought I would pick two movies involving two action heroes, Chuck Norris from Code of Silence and Steven Seagal in Above the Law, and I would call it Chicago Karate Cops.
Yeah, well, both of them directed by Andy Davis.
That's right, yeah, that's right.
Absolutely, both great movies. Those are good ones. Thank you, Ike.
No problem.
All right. Yeah, listen, Esmeralda, you're not into the Chuck Norris stuff. You're just Van Damme, right?
Yeah, Chuck Norris seems a little cheesy to me.
He is. Well, and Van Damme isn't cheesy?
Yeah, but there's something about Chuck Norris. He's too, I don't know.
Well, Chuck Norris does have a few movies out there that are good.
All right.
And Code of Silence, which the one that Ike just brought up, is in fact a terrific movie. You know, it's really funny. Remember last week, guys, we were talking to Dan. We were talking about how when I was working at the Jewels that the salmonella thing happened and we had to dump all the milk.
Right.
Okay. That happened in 1985, the summer of 1985, and that's when Code of Silence was released. And it was shot here in Chicago, and there was a scene in the movie where they're sitting in a kitchen and someone pulls out the Hillcrest milk and puts it on the table. And everybody in the theater was like, no, no, don't drink it. Oh, man. All right. So, all right, what about double features that you love, movies that you would put on your Flicks tape? 312-981-7200. And again, that service is available right now. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Our phone number and text number, we would love to hear from you, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We're talking about Flicks Tape, which is this new service that Netflix has, where you can bundle a bunch of movies or TV shows together like a mixtape, your favorite stuff to give to your friends or your boyfriend, your girlfriend, husband, friends, you know, family, whatever. And we were wondering what movies you would put together, maybe double features that you think are great or movies that are really special or TV shows that are really special that you want your friends to like as well. So there you go. We got some texts coming in. 815 area code says Stalag 17 and Von Ryan's Express. Okay. Rob says Of Mice and Men and the Green Mile. Now, if I could squeeze a third movie in, I'd go with Shawshank Redemption. Amazed at how many people have not seen those films. Dan, did you write this under somebody else's name? Because John Steinbeck's in here.
I know, right?
Hey, by the way, tell everybody about the Grapes of Wrath. You saw the Gift Theater's production of Grapes of Wrath.
Oh, yeah. So Gift Theater is, I hope it's still running. I don't know if it still is.
It might be closed.
Yeah.
But you did see it.
Did see it. It was very well done, per usual, with the Gift Theater. You know, interesting choice that they had made was they made the family interracial. So the dad was white. The mom was African-American. Tom was African-American. And the family was the mixed race. And obviously, I actually saw it the week when obviously there was Dallas went down and Baton Rouge, Minnesota. And so it offered a lot of perspective about the world we live and the world that was and the world that is. And yeah, they did a fantastic job.
And I know that's your favorite play. And, like, your favorite movie and all that stuff. So
August
that's cool.
14th, by the way.
Oh, good. It's still running. Yeah. You got through August 14th. And it's up on Milwaukee Avenue in Jefferson Park, the Gift Theater. Our good friend Michael Patrick Thornton is the artistic director there. They do fantastic work. And, obviously, you want to go to Gale Street before or after. Gale Street, by the way, sponsoring my dad's joke again, as they do every week. And that's coming up. But, yeah, they have package deals, too, with the Gale Street Inn. George is, like, the president of their board. Of the Gift Street Theater Inn. See, this is combined at all. Anyway, so Gale Street Inn, before or after you see any play at the Gift Theater, is always a great evening and a great afternoon. So go check out Grapes of Wrath at the Gift Theater and have some dinner at the greatest restaurant on the planet. In fact, the Gale Street Inn. Okay, how about this? 847 area code. I'd put together E.T. and Wall-E. Both are lovable characters and show what friendship is about. I'm a big Wall-E guy, not so much on the E.T. I like E.T., but I'm a big Wall-E guy. Really. Esmeralda, do you enjoy the Wall-E?
It was okay. I wasn't that into it.
Ooh. Oh.
I don't even think I wasn't really paying too much attention. I mean, it's cute.
Oh, man.
Is it a Pixar?
Oh, yeah.
Because usually those, I'm just like bawling in a fetal position.
Yeah.
Just crying my eyes out. But
I cried at Wall-E.
That one didn't hit me.
Wow. It's my favorite. It's my favorite of all the Pixar movies is Wall-E.
I think it kind of grossed me out because of the people.
Well, you know, that's pretty true.
I know. I was just like, I'm not into this.
We're getting to that part of the world, man. We're getting there. Pretty soon we're all just going to be floating fat guys eating slob and not getting out of our chairs. I love that movie. I love Wall-E. I really do. Al says the director's cut of Aliens and the director's cut of Titanic. Wait a second. Is there a director's cut of Titanic? Is there a longer version of Titanic? I know there's a director's cut of Aliens, which, by the way, Aliens just turned 30 this year. If you want to feel really old, Aliens is 30 years old this summer. But I didn't. Is there like a 5-hour version of Titanic that I'm not aware of? Jeez.
20-minute long scene of Leonardo DiCaprio just floating in the ocean.
I wonder if he means that one where he went back and like fixed the stars because people complained.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that might be it. I don't know. But did they add stuff to it? I guess they did. Boy, Al wants a long night, though. I mean, jeez. Because the Aliens, the cut of Aliens is close to 3 hours. And Titanic, I'm sure the director's cut's probably 4. So Al wants you to sit on the couch for about 8 hours. Tim says, I always show people It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Cloud Atlas to see how they react. What? That's really weird. By the way, in watching Keanu again, I had forgotten that Jordan, when he's all upset that his girlfriend left him, he can't figure out why his girlfriend left him because, you know, he's sitting on the couch blowing a bong. And on his walls, he has posters for Heat. And then New Jack City is on his wall. And for some reason, inexplicable reason, Cloud Atlas. He's got a poster for Cloud Atlas. And he's wondering why his girlfriend left him. I also love the fact that Method Man's name is Cheddar. That is just hilarious. Oh, God, that movie's funny. All right, here's Bill on WGN. Hey, Bill.
Hey, I rented off of Netflix a series from 2009. It was British. It was called Survivor.
Well, I'm sorry, what was it called again? We lost him. He didn't survive that phone call. Wait a minute. Hold it a second now. Whoa. Call back. I would love to hear your thoughts. Let's see. Is this Barry? Hi, Barry.
Barry.
Barry. Hi, Barry.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, my movies are To Kill a Mockingbird, 12 Angry Men, and In the Heat of the Night. I added a third one.
Wow. So you like legal movies?
Well, no. if somebody couldn't see the inequality, the injustice, the prejudice, they didn't, you know, that would be it.
I gotcha. I understand. Those are three really great ones, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I love
great.
Them.
Okay, Barry, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay. There you go. 12 Angry Men. That was good. All right, how about this one? 815 area code says they must love The Wire. Well, I can understand that. Yes. People would get divorced if you didn't like The Wire.
I get so much flack.
For not watching it?
For not having seen it.
Yeah, I try not to give you the flack, Esmeralda.
It's just so many episodes.
It's the best.
It's so depressing.
It's the best television show in the history of television. It truly, really is. And I understand it's, you know, not the happiest, you know, thing. It's five seasons, but it is, The Wire is, without question, the greatest show in the history of television. There's nothing comes close to it. So, you know, I would love if you watched The Wire. Now, has V seen The Wire?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
No, he has. I just feel like I would turn into just a sad puddle.
No, it's so worth it, Esmeralda. It is so, so worth it. Ugh. And it's not like you're going to be depressed. I'm honestly, it's not just nonstop. Like, every episode is not depressing. There's really cool stuff in it. At times, it's very, very funny. It's just a very realistic portrayal of what was going down in Baltimore.
Exactly. And that makes you really depressed about it.
I can understand that, but I really encourage you to try to get over it. Because, I mean, really, the rewards that The Wire provides are kind of immeasurable. It is truly the best TV show that I've ever seen in my life. So, anyway. And I expect a full report from you next week on all five seasons. And you know what? I'm going to stick that on my Flix tape for you. It'll just be The Wire.
There you go.
I don't think it's available on Netflix, though. Okay, we got to take a break. We got the news coming up next on WGN. Hi, good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We are here until 5 a.m. And Steve Grzanich will be here with the opening bell at 5. And my hero and yours, the great Steve Cochran, at 6. Our phone number and text number are the same. We would love to hear from you. It's 312-981-7200. Talk and text are open right now. 312-981-7200. And Netflix is offering this new service called Flixtape. Kind of like a mixtape where you would put together all your favorite songs and stuff and give them to your friends, your girlfriend, or your family. Well, Netflix is letting you do that to bundle a bunch of movies and TV shows together and share them with your friends and family. And we're talking about what maybe you would include on your Flixtape list and maybe what double features are some of your favorites or movies that somebody has to like in order for you to remain friends with them. Bill called back. Hey, Bill, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. I watched a British series called Survivors. They redid it in 2009. The original was from 75 to 1977, and I really enjoyed it because it seems that the British, when they do a series, they don't dumb it down so much like an American series. You'd have to watch it, but it's like it's targeted for a more intelligent audience.
You know, the thing about the British series, inevitably, the ones that become Americanized, the American versions are never as good. That's just the case.
Completely right.
And the other thing about it is that not only in some cases, Bill, like you're saying, are they more intelligent, but the British television industry knows when to quit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's only 13 episodes of the British version of The Office. There's only 13 episodes. There were 8 seasons of the American version. 8. So.
Hey, well, I could. One thing I wanted to quick pass along is I'm picking you up on a skip. I'm 75 miles north of the Twin Cities. I'm not supposed to be picking you up. I wouldn't get you during the day.
Wow, look at that. We're reaching out pretty far. I'm surprised, yeah. considering the world almost ended in Chicago with all the lightning and the clouds and all kinds of stuff. It's nice to see that we've got a clear signal right now.
Hey, have a good one. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Take care. There you go. You like the original version of The Office, the British version?
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, and then so the U.S. one, good, and then I forget when. Oh, when
Carell left?
Yeah, when he left. No, I was just like, ugh.
I still watched it.
Yeah, no, so did I.
I mean, I watched it every week, and there were some episodes I thought were pretty good.
Right. I'd watch and discuss it. Yeah. Like, really? This is going
on? But the final two episodes were great. The way I thought that they really kind of ended it nice.
Right.
They wrapped it up nicely.
I think Creed should have had his own show.
I love that guy.
He's the best.
He's so creepy. I love him. Just like, it's so funny. It was like, you would just see him, like, the camera would, like, move, and all of a sudden he would just be, like, sitting in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of, like, looking up or something. His comments were always great.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That was a funny show, man. But I still prefer the British version. The
right.
British
no,
version
me too.
Amazing.
Completely.
But you know how many successful shows in American history were based on British shows? All the Family was based on a British show. Three's Company was based on a British show. Sanford and Son was based on a British show.
Really?
Called Steptoe and Son.
Huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, so many of these shows, you know, we just...
some things they do so much better.
I know. I think, personally, did you hear my review of AbFab?
Yeah.
Okay. I love that show.
No, so do I.
And you can't. No, I really don't think you could. You could absolutely not make an American version.
Do you remember
of
though? They tried.
They did, didn't they?
They Roseanne Barr was going to do it, and I think that you know they were kind of in there. They were going to give their input, but yeah, they were going to try. I don't even think.
It's a bad idea. That's
no,
just
I was
idea.
Scared for no. it too. I was like, no. Why?
This movie's hilarious, by the way. If you're a fan, Esmeralda.
Yeah. No, I have to see it.
It's hilarious.
The second I heard that they were doing this, I was so into it.
They kill Kate Moss. Oh, God, I love those women. Mark says Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead is a great double feature. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
No, you got to do the trifecta.
You got to do World's End.
Yeah.
You got to. Yeah. Because those are great movies. I did three Brew and View events years ago. My first one was Shaun of the Dead and Dawn of the Dead, the Zack Snyder remake.
Is it the one where they're in the
shopping mall?
Okay, yeah.
But I mean, the original is George Romero.
Right.
We couldn't get that. It's not available. The guy who owns the rights to it is Richard Rubenstein. He's a jerk, and he wouldn't give us the rights. So we showed the remake.
Okay.
Which is fine. It's good. It's not great. It's real good, though. And then that was my double feature. And then I did a Matthew McConaughey double feature.
Of course.
And I did Dazed and Confused. And I wanted Reign of Fire. Have you seen Reign of Fire?
No.
It's him and Christian Bale fighting dragons.
No.
Oh.
The fact that you just said that, I zoned out.
Oh, Esmeralda.
I zoned out. Well, huh?
Oh, no, you got to see this movie. You have to see this movie. And McConaughey is awesome in Reign of Fire. He's insane. He's bald. His head is shaved. He plays a guy named Van Zant, a dragon killer.
Okay.
Oh, God, it's so good.
I just saw him in the Naked Man movie. What's that? The dancing,
what?
Magic Mike.
Oh, Magic!
Like the Naked Dancing Man movie.
Right. Okay. I was like a little confused because I was thinking you said Naked Dancing Man movie, and I immediately think of him getting arrested with bongos.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was essentially.
Oh yeah.
Me and V were watching it, and he's like, "No, they just put the camera on him, and this is just him doing his thing."
He's great in Magic Mike.
Like that's not even scripted. That's just they just put the camera on and he started talking.
I think he's great in that movie.
Yeah,
I think he's great. It's a great performance. It's a funny performance, but he's a jerk. That character is a total jerk, man, and manipulative and real. He's good in that movie.
Yeah.
He's good in everything. But yeah, so that was our second. But I couldn't get Reign of Fire. So we had to show Sahara.
Oh. Okay.
With him and Penelope Cruz and Steve Zahn. Not a particularly good movie, but it was Matthew McConaughey night, so it was really funny because, like, I'll never forget this. About halfway through Savannah, the Vic Theater was, like, cleared out. It was just me and my friends were the only ones. Everybody's like, look, we came to see Dazed and Confused.
Now, if you
then
were...
it was packed for Dazed.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
If you were with someone and they were like, I hate Matthew McConaughey, would you be like, get out?
I would have issues with somebody who hated Matthew McConaughey, but let me just say this. If they only know Matthew McConaughey between the years 2003 and 2009, I can kind of understand them hating Matthew McConaughey. If you're judging it on how to lose a guy in 10 days and failure to launch and ghosts of girlfriends past, I can understand you having a little problem with the McConaughey.
Yeah.
But
I'm assuming that's how he bought those Lincolns, with that money.
He made some rom-com money, he did. But, man, what a comeback after that. I mean, I was always with him, man. I saw all the rom-com movies, and they were dumb, but I was like, he's good in them because he's charming as hell, and I love him.
Okay.
But when he started making, like, great movies again, I was like, oh, good. I mean, and like, he's not made a bad movie. I mean, even the Free State of Jones is good. So, all right, how about this one? 779 area code says, Howl's Moving Castle and Spirited Away.
Oh, right, yeah, those are
beautiful
those are
movies.
Good.
Beautiful. Oh, my last Bruin view that I did, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Beetlejuice.
Nice.
Yeah. Hit a huge crowd for those. And in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, we had a 35mm print. It was awesome. Oh, man. Pee-wee, man. I love Pee-wee. It's ridiculous. Mike says, my wife and I keep joking that we're going to do a double feature of the first two movies we ever saw together, which were Lethal Weapon, which was my choice, and Wings of Desire, which was her choice. Despite the contrast, we're still married.
What's Wings of Desire?
German film by Wim Wenders about it's a great film, shot in black and white, really gorgeous, amazing movie, about angels being with humans.
Okay.
Peter Falk is in it. It's a really, really beautiful film. One of my favorite movies of the 80s. But it's completely different than Lethal Weapon.
No Lethal Weapon.
No, and it's it's subtitled too, most of it. 708 area code says, double feature of movies that scared the crap out of me when I was a kid, Event Horizon and Stephen King's It. Okay. Tony says, Extreme Prejudice and The Hidden. Wow, that's random. You ever see The Hidden?
No.
It's about an alien that jumps into people's bodies.
Okay.
And can switch, but you don't know they're an alien because it's hidden. See, the alien gets inside the body. It's like a Body Snatchers kind of a thing. Except it's one alien jumping from body to body.
Is it like that movie with Denzel and it's the devil?
Yeah, Fallen.
Is it like that kind of situation?
Fallen's a ripoff of that one, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and there was a movie called Shocker, too, that Wes Craven made, which has a scene where the body just goes. There was also a movie called Horror Show with Lance Hendrickson. They've made a lot of movies where spirits jump
things
in from body
jumping
to body.
Yeah.
Mike says, Bridesmaids and Donnie Darko.
Okay.
Two very different movies, but two movies I really love, and they're excellent at what they do. Okay. All right. Those are completely diverse movies. 773 area code says, The French Connection and To Live and Die in L.A., two of the best car chases ever. No question about it. Both directed by William Friedkin. Sean in Wisconsin said, It sucked when my wife said that she didn't find The Burbs funny. Yeah. I can kind of understand that. But The Burbs is a weird movie. Have you seen The Burbs?
I saw it so long ago.
It's great.
But I do remember. Yeah, it was like The Weirdo Neighbors.
Yeah. It's a great movie. Brian. Do we know what Brian? If I just say the name Brian.
I want to know what double feature.
Let's see. Okay, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Brian, I would suggest a double feature of the unbelievably amazing Gymkhana.
Right.
Followed by a repeat of Gymkhana.
Of course. Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's the only Gymkhana can only be.
You can't
featured
top Gymkhana. You have to show Gymkhana.
That's, yeah. You'd be like, wow, that was such a great movie. What's next?
Gymkhana.
Okay, then.
Oh. All right. All right, we have the break. We got weather, we got traffic, and then the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet, sponsors my dad and his joke, and that's coming up as well. All right, a couple more texts here about double features and movies and stuff. Rob says, Kelly's Heroes in the Dirty Dozen. That's a good one. 815 area code says, Stripes and Spies Like Us. No, it's good. You ever seen Spies Like Us?
I haven't.
It's so funny. It's so stupid. So stupid. Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd.
Right.
Completely stupid. But I it makes me laugh every time I see it. Let's see. How about Jaws and Jurassic Park, Jamie says.
Yeah, I could see them.
They're both Spielberg. Phyllis says, how about a double feature of Commando and Predator? Well, he would be a little Arnold. Little Arnold action for you.
Mm-hmm.
How about Marriott player says, Escape from New York and Escape from L.A.? Not a lot of people would agree with Escape from L.A. That's the we keep talking about that, and you keep getting confused. I think you saw it because you remember Peter Fonda on the surfboard, right?
It was the newer one.
That's Escape from L.A.
I think that is the one that I saw. I think, yeah, because it was newer. Because I can tell from new.
Yeah.
New.
By the way, Carpenter opened with Escape from New York.
Oh, okay.
And
was there footage? What's his name?
Kurt Russell. Snake Plissken.
Yeah.
Snake Plissken.
I can tell. Like, I can tell old Kurt Russell from new.
But he looks exactly the same, though, in that one.
Yeah, but he looks a little.
You know what was really funny when they made, because that movie was 20 years ago. Mm. L.A. was 20 years ago. Escape from New York was 35 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's 15 years in between the movies. And when they were going back to make Escape from L.A., mm-hmm. he pulled out his old costume and he fit in it.
Well, he's a fit man.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does, his face does look like it's made out of leather.
It does. But it suits him.
He's the best. Kurt Russell rules. That's another great thing. You know, let's try and make these Fast and Furious movies better. How? Oh, let's put Kurt Russell in them.
He's in them?
He's in the last one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They put him in the last one. It's like, could this movie be any cooler? Yeah, we can get Kurt Russell. Not only is Kurt Russell in the next one,
mm-hmm.
so is, why am I blanking?
Charlize Theron.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Isn't what, I was just talking about Fast and Furious tonight, isn't, bald guy, what's his name? I can't remember anybody tonight.
Vin Diesel.
No. From The Transporter.
Oh, Statham.
Yeah, Jason Statham.
Yeah, he's in him.
Yeah. Because we were talking about, Crank was on TV.
The first one is great.
I like all of them. They're like junk food.
The second one sucked, but the first one is great.
That one was on, and V was telling me that they were going to make Chev Chelios the bad guy or whatever. Like, there was a rumor.
No.
Like, a great crossover would have been if he was Chev
Chelios. He's not. I mean, he didn't play the character.
No, he isn't, but it would have been been like a good crossover.
Well, that's like, you know, now they've cast, you know, Charlize Theron. They should call it the Fast and the Furiosa.
Right. She just comes in with a big
She just comes in with the oil on her head and the war paint on, shaved head.
And then she has the truck. She would have the truck, too. Would it be really fast?
Have you seen Fury Road?
I know, but compared to those little bikes and cars.
Did you see Fury Road? They've got bikes and cars and all kinds of other things.
Yeah, but they got gases and stuff that shoot out of the cars, don't they? Make them go faster? Nitrous or whatever?
Well, yeah, that's what they have Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, but it's, you know.
Her truck would be furious.
Yeah.
Not really fast.
Like in the movie, though, they don't have nitrous because they have guys drinking gas and spitting it into the engines. That's what it is.
True.
The guys true. laying on the hood of the vehicles, drinking gas and spitting it into the engine. It's fantastic. Man, I'm going to go home and watch Fury Road for the 9,000th time. All right, how about this one? Frosty.
The snowman?
Frosty. It's not a good time for him right now.
No, he's in a puddle.
Yeah. Remember when he melted and did you cry?
I didn't see that movie.
No, the TV special, the Frosty the Snowman.
You've never seen it? I've heard about it.
Every time. Every damn year when they would show the animated. Oh, my God. Because here's Frosty. He's a happy dude with
Does
a pipe.
Someone have to be like, don't worry, Nick.
I'm an only child, so my parents would be like, just shut up and watch.
wow.
Gymkhana's on later. You'll be fine. No, yeah. So I would cry every time. Every time, because you would melt.
Right.
Like, oh, my God, they kill
him. Wait, what happens?
they rebuild
spoiler
him.
Spoiler alert.
They rebuild him or something, right? Don't they, like, make another snowman and they stick the magic carrot in that and he comes to life again?
Wow, that seems harsh.
They kill him off, though. He melts.
I know, but then it's like, we'll just build another one.
No, but it's the magic, like, carrot, right? Is it the magic carrot or the hat? No, it's a hat. It's his hat. So how the hell can...
So the hat always...
The hat him. Makes him snow
makes him
frosty.
Him. Regardless of what
right.
ugly
if you, I think
snowman
if you,
they
if
make.
You,
like, if they were to make one with, like, a blocky bottom. And...
yeah, it would still be him. He'd be like, what the hell is this?
He'd be like, come on, guys.
You put really? The hat on top of a bush. What? Why am I a bush? Frosty the Bush? All right. Hey, Esmeralda, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Two
see
for
you
Tuesday.
Tomorrow.
All right, we'll be right back.